Good. All right, we're good. Well, good morning, everyone. I am so glad to see that everybody's been able to make it out today. Hope everybody has enjoyed this little bit cooler weather we've had the last day or two, especially a couple of mornings. It's felt really nice out there, so I hope you've been able to enjoy that. This morning, we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16. I feel very lucky to only have one chapter to cover this morning instead of three or four like most of these guys have done. Daniel's covered, I don't know, 12 or 15, it seems like. You've covered a bunch. So, hopefully this morning, I hope this study will be beneficial to all. But before we begin, I'm going to ask Brother Lane Alexander, if he would, to lead us in a word of prayer.
For this opportunity that we have to be able to come together this morning and study from thy word. We're so thankful that we have the opportunity to worship thee, to serve thee, dear Father. As we engage in this study, we pray that thou be with Billy as he directs our thoughts. And we pray that thou bless each one of us that we're attentive to hearing. And we pray that we can make application of what we learn and help us to grow in our faith with thee. Please be with those that are unable to be here. Bless and strengthen them and heal them, dear Father, for be thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So this morning in chapter 16, we're going to be talking about the anointing of David to be the next king of the children of Israel. And I think this is an interesting story. We'll have a lot of comments we might put in through the story as well. And at the end of the lesson, hopefully we'll make up some really good applications. I think everything in God's Word that has been revealed to us is revealed for our learning. Everything we read, there's something that God intends for us to learn from that. And whatever lessons we learn from God's Word are lessons that we should be able to apply in our daily life. So hopefully we'll be able to do that here coming up. So again, like I did the last time, we're going to have some of the story pictures about the text that we're reading from. And since we just got one chapter, I'm just going to take some time this morning and we're going to read through that. So if you recall, the last few classes that we've had, Daniel and Jeff have taught these last several classes. We saw how Samuel came to power as the judge and prophet of Israel. And we saw that the children of Israel wanted a king. They came to Samuel and said, hey, give us a king. We want a king so we can be just like all the nations around us, right? And we saw how God reacted to that request of the people. And he told Samuel, give them what they want. You know, and it kind of reminds me of a child who's just, you know, pitching a tantrum. They want this, they want this, they want this. And you're like, oh, you really don't need that. This is better for you. I don't care about that. We want this, we want this. So finally, you give them what they want. And then hopefully they learn from the lessons from that. Well, we kind of see this a little bit with the children of Israel. They cried out for this king. So Samuel picks Saul to be the next king. Now, what did we learn about Saul? What kind of guy was Saul? Was he a little short fella? Well, he's a big, tall, strapping, good-looking man, wasn't he? So he was exactly what the people would have thought. Yeah, that's what a king looks like. When I see these kings and powerful men from other nations, that's our guy, right? So they picked a guy who was kind of what the people wanted. We looked in the last few lessons, we learned about how Saul started out good. He had some good moments where he was obedient to the Lord. He showed good faith. But then over time, it seems to be maybe it's power, maybe it's whatever. He kind of gets a little more corrupt and a little more corrupt. He starts being disobedient to God. And in the last lesson, remember how he was sent to fight against the Amalekites, was told to utterly destroy them, completely destroy them, kill every man, kill every woman, kill every child, kill every beast, kill them all, wipe them off the face of the earth. Did Saul do that? No, he didn't do that. And so we see Samuel coming in toward the end of chapter 15, and he deals with Saul and says, hey, the kingdom is going to be torn away from you. You know, it was yours for the taking. God set you up as king and it was yours. But because of your disobedience, we're going to take the kingdom away from you. And Samuel finishes out that chapter. And we see at the end of the chapter, it says, Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. For Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Brian? Right. Yes. Yeah. I do not know how old David was at this time. I'm not real sure how old Saul was. Jeff. So for those who may not have heard that, you're talking about Saul. There's a couple of different things about how long he ruled. Some say maybe in the 20 or so, and some say around 40 years. So David was, we know the scriptures say he was a young man. But that description is used of, you know, a lot of different teenagers and whatnot, perhaps. So he might have been maybe around 18 or so. But I had David, and then we'll come back to Jeff. David? 2 Samuel 5:4 says, David was 30 when he began to reign. Okay. So David was 30 when he began to reign as king. Okay. But that doesn't necessarily mean when he was anointed king, because there was a good bit of period when Saul was finishing out his reign there. Jeff? We're actually, I don't know if that answered all your questions there, Brian. I'm not sure if we know exact answers on that. What we will talk about as we read through this, we'll probably make a few more observations about that as we carry on. But what we do know was that Saul did not obey God. And I was really struck by the words that said, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. What's another time when we heard that kind of language in the Bible? Yes. Before the flood, the God said that he regretted that he had made man. So there's not very many times where God regrets some action that he's done. But this was one of them. So I think that tells us a little bit about the character of God, what he expects from man and the man who he chooses to be leaders over his people. So that carries us up to about through chapter 15. So let's turn to chapter 16, and we will just take a few moments to read through this story, if you will, this morning. So chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. So let's stop for just a minute. Let me ask a question. I want you to be thinking about this. What's your picture of Samuel at this time? How do you picture Samuel at this point in his life? Old? So you picture Samuel as an old man, perhaps you know the effects of time and age are upon him. We see the picture here in the drawing. It's an old man with a long gray beard, and he's talking to God. He's praying, but we see him scared. He's scared of Saul. All right, so put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that here in just a moment. But think about the kind of man Samuel was and what we know about him here. So let's continue on with our reading in verse 2. And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. Listen up. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" And he said, "In peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now, in your mind's eye, you have this picture of Samuel, this really old man, like on a walker, and he's going to Bethlehem, right? That's kind of what we vision. What vision did the men of Bethlehem have of Samuel? They were shaken. They came out trembling to Samuel, "Do you come in peace?" I mean, can y'all see that now? Jeff? That's exactly right. Look just a few verses back. This was not years and years ago. This was just right before that when he came into Saul and he said, "Saul, the king of Israel, the leader of the armies, the one who just was just triumphant in battle," and said, "You disobeyed God and God's going to tear the kingdom away from you." And what's this I hear in the background? I'm not going to get Bill to do the lamb sounds and stuff again, but he hears all the lambs and, "Oh, we're going to sacrifice." And, "Wait, do I hear King Agag?" And he goes in there and he cuts this guy up to the point that he's just nothing left. This is Samuel. This isn't an old, feeble man. This is a man who's got the Spirit of God in him. Strong man. And he put the fear of God in all of those in the city of Bethlehem when he came. They were trembling for him. So don't think that Samuel's just this old man. He may have been aged, but the Spirit of God was on him. And it was on with Samuel throughout his whole life, the Scripture says. So when the Spirit of God is with you, you can do great and mighty things. All right, so let's continue on with our reading. Look in verse 6. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature." Maybe that's a little jab at Saul, right? But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." God's judging these men from a different standard, from a different perspective, a different point of view. We always look at, you know, we seem to see things in the physical realm. "Oh, that's a strong, tall man. He'd be a good king. He'd be a powerful king." But God's looking for something special. He's looking for something in the heart, something we don't see. All right, continue on in verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Next, Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Then Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the children?" And he said, "Yet there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he is here. So he's sent. All of Jesse's sons have been brought in. They've come before Samuel. It's almost like a pageant. Here's my son number one. You know, here comes the tall, strong fella. Nope, that's not the one. Next, bring up the next one. Nope, that's not the one. And he parades or passes, has all of his sons come to meet Samuel. And none of these are the one. So they said, well, don't you have some more? So he said, yeah, we've got the youngest one. He's out tending sheep. You know, he's still working. We've got him out in the fields working, tending sheep. He says, I'll bring him in here because I'm not going to sit down for this sacrifice until he's here. So we finish verse 11 there, and they're bringing David in. So pick up in verse 12. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord says, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. That is so cool. That is so neat. There's a lot of different observations we can probably make about this. But I love that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. That's interesting that God selects that detail to reveal to us about this story. Was there anything else that you might have noticed observation-wise from our passage up to this point? Jeff? Yeah. Right. Do you think David knew why he was being anointed? I mean, the scripture talks about in the first of this chapter that God says, I'm going to send you to anoint the next king. But it never talks about, it never mentions king as far as him coming for the sacrifice. He says, I've come here to sacrifice. And he wants to meet all the sons of Jesse. It doesn't reveal that to us. I don't know that David understood perhaps at this time that he was going to be the king. Maybe that wasn't revealed. Maybe it was. We just don't know it. God doesn't reveal that to us, so perhaps it doesn't play much into our story. But it's interesting that he leaves that out, that he doesn't say, oh, you're going to be the next king and I'm going to anoint you. I think he did a little bit more like that with Saul perhaps when Saul was anointed. But Samuel does the anointing of David, Mike. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. What Mike was saying was that we recall Joseph and how he was the youngest, one of the youngest of the brothers. And when he was showed that favoritism and showed to be a person of prominence early, it caused the brothers to hate him, really. And so, by not revealing that, maybe that kept that kept David in good favor with his brothers here. Another hand was over here. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you remember, Samuel was afraid Saul was going to kill him if he heard that he was going to anoint the next king, right? So, the Lord says, no, go undercover, if you will. Go down there to make a sacrifice, and if Saul hears you going there, he's going to, oh, you're just going down there to make a sacrifice to the Lord, and, that's enough. So he doesn't make a big fuss about this because Saul is still the Lord's anointed. He is still king, And even though the kingdom will be torn away with him, Samuel knows that's in God's time when that's going to happen. And I'm not going to expedite that, right? Yes. Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. There's a lot of foreshadowing here. We're going to come back to that point here in a few minutes, Lord willing. Brian? And I think all of that, for those who may not have heard, Brian was talking about the difference in age and how, you know, David was younger, obviously, and he knew something special has happened here. Samuel came and anointed me to be king, to be the next prophet, perhaps. I mean, there was different ways and different reasons, I think, for anointments and whatnot. So David had something special when a man of God, a prophet of God, comes and anoints him with oil. And he knows this when the Spirit of God comes mightily upon him. He's got to have felt a difference from that. So he knows that he is going to be a person that God has selected to do a job. He's going to have a job to do. He may not fully understand what that job is. At a young age, he may not be fully prepared for that job yet. So he knows God is going to guide him and tell him what to do, and he's going to reveal his will to him in due time. So I think we see a lot of that coming there. Yes? Okay.
You'd ask if we can make any other comments.
Right, right.
At this point, verse 1, where God says, how long will you grieve over Saul? You get your horn with oil and go.
Yeah.
God understands there's a time for us to process grief. And we have grief in all kinds of situations, not just at the death of a loved one. And there's a time for that. That's appropriate. You need to go through that.
Yeah.
There's a time you got to get over it. There's a time you got to move on. And even if it's your own personal sins that you grieve over, there's a time where you've got to put that behind you and move on. And that ties in directly with our theme this year with Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14.
Yeah. Samuel was grieving. We start the chapter with Samuel grieving for Saul and how things had gone. Samuel could have had a whole other attitude about that. Remember, Samuel prophesied a prophecy from God that he revealed to people. Hey, the king's going to come. He's going to take your men. He's going to put them in his army. He's going to take the best of everything, and he's going to make it his own, right? He told them all the things that a king was going to do that was not good for the people, things that God didn't do to them as their king. And Samuel, we saw in the last couple of chapters, I think Daniel and Jeff both pointed some of these things out, where Saul was doing just that. He was taking the choicest men, taking the valiant wars, taking different things and building his own, right? And he was fulfilling the prophecy. Samuel could have been said, see, I told y'all. I told you the king was going to do this, and you wouldn't listen. He could have had that kind of attitude, but he was sad for the people because they're still the Jews, they're still his family, they're the chosen people of God at this point. And he wants nothing more than to see them obey God and follow God. So Samuel was very grieved with the state of the kingdom at this point. So, all right, great observations. I really appreciate that, each and every one of you. So let's finish out our chapter here. We pick up in verse 14. We jump to a different scene here. It says, now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. Saul's servant said to him, behold, now an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you, let them seek a man who is a skillful player of the harp. And it shall come to pass when that evil spirit from God is upon you, that he shall play the harp with his hand, and you will be well. So Saul's servant said to his servants, provide for me now a man who can play well, and bring him to me. Then one of the young men said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, and a handsome man, and the Lord is with him. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the flock. Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a jug of wine and a young goat and sent them to Saul by David, his son. Then David came to Saul and attended him. And Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. So it came about, whenever the evil spirit from God came down on Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. That's interesting. There's so many things, and we could probably talk for a few hours about the things that are revealed in those verses there. One of the things that I was impressed by is we see David anointed, and the next thing we see, we think, oh, here's this young guy who's been a shepherd, right? So the next thing we see is that he's being moved up to sit in the court of Saul. He's going to be seeing everything that's going on with Saul and reigning as the king of Israel. He's going to be exposed to the qualifications of the job. What's expected of a king? What does he do day to day? What kind of battles does he have to fight? What does he got to do to take care of the people as a king? And now David's been out in the fields as a shepherd. Now he gets a little internship, if you will, as a person in the court of the king of Israel. It's interesting how God is making sure that he's taken care of. It says that the people knew that God was with David, and so he was faring very well and getting that education that he needs to someday step into that role as king. Any other observations that you might have had, David? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Saul had the spirit. That's what he's saying. Saul had that spirit of Lord with him, and God said he was going to take it away. Right. Yeah. So what he said was, for those who couldn't hear, Saul had the Holy Spirit on him, right? The Spirit of God was upon Saul, but yet he still had choice, did he not? And he chose not to do what the Spirit of God was trying to direct him and guide him in. Saul chose to disobey God. And so what we find out is that spirit can leave you. You know, it's not you become a puppet and you're always a puppet. We still have the free choice there. Herbert?
We can quench. That's what happened with Saul.
Yeah.
He left.
Yeah. I don't know if his brothers fully recognized that until probably later, but yeah. I don't know if I can even summarize on it. You know, we can grieve God. You know, I think related to what he was saying is, as children, we can cause our parents great joy, and we can cause our parents great grief. And as servants of the Lord, our God, our Father, we can do the same to him. And so what we see from Saul is that even though the Spirit of God was upon him, he caused God great grief to the point he regretted having made him king. And so by doing so, he quenched that spirit. He put it out. He put out that fire that was within him. So good comments. Any other comments? I want to take a few moments and look at some applications. So, all right. So, we've got two stories so far about the anointing of a king or soon to be or going to be king of Israel. Do you see anything different between these two stories? I think about, we've all studied as children, we study this anointing of David, and there's so much good stuff that we learn from this story. But how much time do we spend studying the anointing of Saul? I remember as Daniel was covering this a few nights or a few weeks ago, it's just like this such a bizarre, he's out looking for donkeys, he comes up upon Samuel. There's just all this kind of like chaotic stuff that's going on where Saul meets Samuel and says, hey, can you help us find our donkeys? And, you know, next thing you know, he's being anointed and the Spirit comes upon him, he starts prophesying. It's not near as structured and I think insightful to us into what God is telling us from this passage as it was with David. Any differences you might see in this? No difference? Yes. Blaine.
In this situation,
yes, yeah. But before, the people are coming, they're rejecting God and saying, we want a king like all the nations around us. So God gives them a king like all the nations around them. And then we see how that ends. It's not good, right? It's disobedience. The Spirit leaves Saul. He's given every advantage to take advantage of it. He's given every opportunity to take advantage of it, and he doesn't do so. And so this time God says, now it's my turn. I'm going to pick a king, and I'm going to pick a king that is a man after my own heart. And he reveals this to Samuel. He says, it's time for me to pick one. It's going to be a man after my own heart. And knowing that this is a selection God is making, we read in through these details that he does give us in chapter 16, and I think we see a lot of great insight And when God tells Samuel, you look at the man as a tall man, or, you know, you look at the physical characteristics. But God sees man differently than you see man. God, you look at the physical, but I look at the heart. God's looking into the heart of man to see what's in there, what makes up that man, what's his real character. What's that man going to do when he faces trials? What's he going to be like as a leader? Does he have the heart of God in him? Does he have a heart that longs to be obedient to God? And God gives us that insight in this passage. Any other thoughts or comments? Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Saul kind of had to be just talked into it a little bit. They, you know, he's hiding amongst the baggage, I think, is the thing Daniel said. Oh, bring him out. He's over here. Bring him out. And, but David just, you know, kept on about his business. Brian?
There's a big stride.
Absolutely. Yeah, people see who you are. Your actions reveal who you are. Daniel?
When I look at the difference between Saul and David, Saul started out humble, but it seems that maybe he was just more afraid than he was humble.
Yeah.
You see, David, he's just a courageous kind of guy, right? He's got a strong faith in God and just what he's doing. And you see Paul, or Saul, you know, the people, it's like, well, the people got, you know, took the sheep.
Saul may have looked the part, big, tall, strapping man, but he started off so humble and like Daniel said, maybe even afraid. He was afraid of the people. He was afraid of all these different things, and he may have been a great, big, mighty man and did well in war and in battle, but he just didn't have, I don't think he had the true courage. David had obviously, even in a young age, had showed true courage out tending the sheep. We find out later when he's in the next couple of chapters. I'm not going to get into that because I'll take someone else's lesson away. But we know that David showed great courage. And so when David comes into a situation, it's not that he's got this courage and bravado and he just goes in there full force and just blows everybody away. He still comes in there with a truly humble heart before God and is wanting to make sure what's God's will here. What, you know, I'm a man of valor, I'm ready to go, but I'm going to do what God instructs me to. And he shows a great deal of control and, you know, just great power that has great control is what you want from your leaders. You don't want a leader that's got great power and just goes in there and just bulldozes everybody over and then figures out, you know, what's the right thing to do later. You want someone who's going to look at all the options, weigh all the options, take the input from God and say, what would you want me to do, Lord? And let me do what you say to do. And that's what we see more from David. We see indicated. So with that in mind, let's look at our next question here is, what do we learn and what we've seen in chapter 16? What do we learn about the nature of God from this chapter? There's some really important things that we need to learn about from, you know, what God looks for. And how does that impact our daily lives? So what are some lessons we might carry that might be more related to this? Anyone? Wayne?
Character and spirituality are more important than physical.
Yeah. A person's character and their spirit and who they are and how they behave is far more important than their physical representation, right? Jeff?
We've really said it all quarter long, obedience. God's looking for Samuel to be obedient to go anoint a king.
Yeah.
Because of that, Samuel's looking for the man who's going to be obedient to God.
Yeah, yeah. I had a couple of thoughts here. You know, we've talked several times about that God was going to appoint this king and he was going to get someone after his own heart, right? And so when he makes that decision, God sent Samuel directly to the house of Jesse. He says it's one of his sons. Sent him directly. He didn't send him to a city and said something's going to be brought to you. He didn't go through this stuff. He said, let's go right here. This is where you're going to find him. And he shows kind of a different way of choosing David. Here's just a young man out tending sheep, and God uses this opportunity to show us how he looks at the heart of man. It's not about the physical character, which so many of y'all have been saying. So it tells us kind of what his priorities are on. We think about, we'll come back to that here in just a minute, but think about that for a moment, is how God looks at us differently. God looks at everything we see in earth, everything we experience in life. We see it through our own eyes, bound in by this physical body that we're housed in. God sees things differently. Our way, his ways are not necessarily our ways. He sees things differently. We look at the physical. He looks into the heart of man. So at some point, we need to take that lesson and learn from that, so that when we start looking at things, we don't just look at the physical. We've got to think about the spiritual consequences of my actions. How is this going to impact my spirit? Because where did that spirit come from? Where did each and every one of our spirits come from? It came from God. It was born of God. That breath of life that we've all been given is a breath that comes from God. So that spirit is God's offspring. It's God's child. It's God's son. It's God's daughter. And that spirit wants to be with God. It wants to be obedient with God. It's part of him. That's why we're in the image of God. And so it's important for us to really think about the consequences of our actions, not just in the physical world we live in. How will this impact my job? How will this impact, you know, providing for my family? How will this impact my relationship with my friends? We need to think about, how will this impact my relationship with God? Will I be pleasing God if I take this action? Or will I be quenching the Spirit of God that is within me and grieving the Lord if I take this action? I think that's something that we can all learn from this passage. So, any other comments on this? Jensen? One final question, and this is not necessarily one that we'll cover today. It's one I want you to be thinking about in lessons to come, because we see David chosen by God as a man after his own heart. So as we continue in our studies over the next few weeks, Lord willing, we're going to learn more about the life of David, him facing Goliath, becoming king, and how he treats Saul. I want you to be thinking about, what does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be able to study that some more in coming weeks. I appreciate your time this morning. All your thoughts and comments were great. And hopefully in a few moments, we will continue on with our worship. Thank you.